words of my lips, the meditations of our hearts, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's miracle that we hear about, this amazing event that Jesus does, is the only miracle that Jesus does that is presented in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the story about this particular event, which tells us something about how important it was to the early church and how important it may be, no, it should be to you and to me. In some of the episodes of things that you look at on television, they sometimes start off by saying, in previous episodes, and then you get two or three glimpses of something that may have happened before. And I think there may be some value in that in previous episodes sort of beginning to my homily for today. Because if we look back to last Sunday, this particular event really was part of our gospel, but not really part of the official gospel. The readings began with the fact that John's been beheaded, and the gospels began with that. And the people, the disciples that Jesus has sent out in pairs have returned, and he's sort of debriefing them about what they had learned and what they had done. And he says to them, come away to a deserted place. He recognized that they were worn out. They'd really given of themselves as he predicted, as he really directed them to do. He told them that you'll be able to do things greater than even than I would do. And they were doing that, and that was tiring, you can imagine, and they'd come back. And Jesus says, let's go to a deserted place and rest for a while. But as you know from last week's gospel, it didn't work that way. Instead, the people followed them around the lake and were there when they got there, ready to have their relaxation. Instead, there was a big crowd that had assembled because they were hungry and they understood the message that Jesus was bringing, the healing that Jesus was taking to people. And then later that day, what happens in today's gospel that we focus on so intently, the feeding of the 5,000 or the miracle of the loaves and fish takes place, and we skipped over that, and not intentionally here, but in the way the readings were assigned for last week, we skip over that part and then come back to the point that after this has happened, the people have been deeply touched by what's going on. And Jesus' disciples set out of the boat, and then something begins to happen. One of the things that this particular, that last week focuses on, is the end of the story, if you will, says that they begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Imagine for a second the power that message, that statement, begins to bring into their lives, certainly, and into ours. Begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. All who touched it were healed. I'll never forget in my life an event that was held here in the cathedral when Archbishop Michael Ramsay, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was here. And those of you who remember him from his writings or his pictures, he was a very imposing sort of guy. He had shaggy eyebrows that make mine look trimmed. And he was so sound and so, I mean, just one of those persons who, as he walked and moved, you just had a sense of God's power and God's Spirit being with him. And well, the point of my story is that at that point in my life, about 35 years ago, interest rates were 22% and other things were going on that were a big mess in my world. And I really didn't know what my direction should be, what I should do, how to respond. And I remember praying deeply, sitting over here someplace, dear God, please give me some kind of sign, some kind of message, some kind of understanding of the fact that you're with me and that you love me. And so I can tell you it was right about 35 years ago, but I can tell you it was almost exactly there, within 30 inches of there, that as Archbishop Michael Ramsay came around the rail, dispensing communion, that as I knelt there, suddenly his chasuble blew out forward and brushed across my face, like those who were in the crowd knew that if they just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, they could be healed. And I experienced that, I knew that in that particular moment. Today's gospel, from the Gospel of John, tells us with greater focus on this event of the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the loaves and fish. And while the story itself is very important, it could be almost like a, not a carnival show, but it could be like something very showy, which is, I think, picked up in where Jesus recognizes they were so powered by what they saw and heard that they wanted to take him and make him king. And Jesus says, no. We mustn't do that, because the kind of king he is the kind of king who understands us, looks at us with compassion, wants to feed us, and ultimately his gift of his life will be the kingship that you and I are to follow. Not just the mysteries, not just the miracles, because what those do is they teach us and tell us, affirm for us, the power and the meaning of Christ in our lives. Jesus, when he looks out at the people, looks at them and sees them with compassion. And I think that's so very important for each one of us to hear with our hearts how Jesus looks at us and sees us with compassion. One of the joys, one of the, I guess, burdens sometimes of being a priest is that you learn to know so many people in the congregation, and you know their burdens, you know their struggles, you know their failures, you know their times of need. And Jesus looks at those times of need, those times of hunger, if you will, with our hearts, with compassion. And he reaches out to feed us and to feed our broken world. We have kind of a crazy world that does all kinds of weird stuff. Sitting in a movie theater and all of a sudden somebody opens up with a handgun. Other kinds of things. African Americans who are afraid in some instances to drive on the highway for fear of being pulled over because of their color. And police who are afraid, whether they're white or black, of can I stop anybody? What can I do? Am I disempowered by all that's going on? And one very big mess. And I really believe, without any question, that today's gospel tells each one of us that Jesus looks at that with compassion. Looks at that with compassion and shows us that with what seems to be scarcity, our God can make plenty. What seems to be scarcity, our God can change and make plenty. What seems to be emptiness can become full. What seems to be struggle can be satisfaction. And certainly the good times, the easy times of life become even better and even more blessed by his presence and his power. This particular event becomes so powerful and so meaningful, I think, that what Paul says about it as he writes to the Ephesians is really sort of, it puts it all together in a very special and, for me, very touching way. Paul says that he kneels and prays that the Ephesians, which would include, I think, you and me today, he wants something for the Ephesians, wants something for you and something for me because of the love that our God has for every one of us. And Paul says, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and for a reason. And the reason is so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So all this is about God wanting you to be filled with his power and his presence. and to know that in spite of struggles, in spite of emptiness, in spite of illness, in spite of families with difficulties or just the very happy times, that our God is with us. Our God looks at us with compassion and wants to fill us beyond our imagination with His presence, His power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.